I wanted to show you this. Yeah, you can't hardly see it. This is a little brochure, no, hardly any pages. This is the first publication on computer art. It appeared at the occasion of that first exhibition. There's a few drawings in there you can't see them, but you smell of Georg Nees's drawings that he did there, and the programs, recoding. No? The programs are here. Two or three or five liners in plain German. Nobody by the time 65 would have dared to give the actual code. What's wrong with that? But you can describe precisely enough in plain language, French, Arabic, I guess, why not? They have a great tradition, or even German, and that is what happened here. And I want to tell you one more thing out of this. Max Benze has a little text in there called Projects of Generative Aesthetics. Many, if not all of you, now know what generative design, generative art, generative architecture, generative music, generative X is, right? Because this is the time, the fashion of generative X. But it was invented in 1965 as generative aesthetics, I'm sorry to say. Yeah. And in 68, I already wrote that program, Mark mentioned it, that I boldly called Generative Aesthetics Number One. Wow! It was called so because by the time the programming language of the day was PL1, PL standing for Programming Language Number One. Okay, so at the same time, 68, I did this Generative Aesthetics Number One. I don't tell you anything about that program. Maybe in the discussion we can take it up. But Benze's term of generative aesthetics was meant, and was first of all built again in analogy to Noam Chomsky's generative grammar, which had existed quite a while already. So as in the same way as a generative grammar, Chomsky, is a device to generate phrases according to a artificially given grammar schema. In that same way, a generative aesthetics would be a schema to produce aesthetic offerings, no? Aesthetic structures. Generative grammar, the case is language, phrases. Generative aesthetics, the case is two-dimensional, as long as we stay within the two-dimensional field of the visuals. All right. Two months later, April, another exhibition took place in New York this time, Howard Wise Gallery, and the main exhibitor there is A. Michael Knoll, another guy but different works, Bela Julesz. They were both from Bell Labs, Bell Laboratories, Bell Telephone, that was then, so it doesn't matter. At that place in the States, United States, for some years, they had a concentration of engineers, physicists, and one, I will get back to her in a minute, artist, who were allowed, because they were making so much profit, to do funny things that you would not believe that a normal company would allow their employees to do. What we see here, one of the few works only that Michael Knoll produced, is, you should look at them, but we don't have the glasses, in pairs always. These are the two stereographic projections, such that if we had glasses, we would actually see three-dimensional images. And these three-dimensional images would be a four-dimensional cube rotating, being projected down into three dimensions. Ah, here we see something else that when you use computers is permitted or becomes available to you. Namely, something that in our way of dealing with the world as three-dimensional beings is impossible. In the computer, of course, you can do this. Dimensions don't exist for the computer, therefore the computer can deal with any number of dimensions. We can deal only with three dimensions, with a little, this kind of stereographic stuff. I should mention Howard Weiss Gallery, by the time was avant-garde. They were doing the first in the United States video art shows. They were famous for, if you want to do something outrageous, then go to Howard Weiss. The gallery doesn't exist anymore. And a little anecdote again, life is a series of anecdotes. Michael Knoll boldly drew up a contract with Howard Weiss, what to do when his works are being sold. None was sold. None. Great disappointment. And the other part of the anecdote, Bell Labs getting to know that Michael Knoll would be exhibiting in New York, said, wait a minute. If our name is mentioned, the word art is not allowed to appear. The same, by the way, was true for Georg Nees, who was employed by Siemens, the Siemens company. So by that time, these big companies did not want to get to be associated in whichever way with art, because that would not be serious. This is from the early times. Aha. Michael Knoll, therefore, said, okay, I don't do this. I put copyrights on all of those, and then it's my stuff only, which he now regrets, because he can now no longer claim that he had done these things 1 or 2 years earlier, because the copyright is 1965. But that's not important. This is another piece, one of the two, by Michael Knoll. He never really did anything original. He was intrigued by others. And this here became famous. Maybe some of you may have seen that. There is a test, it is claimed. People are being shown these two side by side, and they're being asked the question, one of these is done by a computer, the other one by a living artist. Which one is the computer piece? And the other question was, which one do you prefer, given your taste? Do it for yourself, I tell you what it is. Or what do you think, which one is done by computer, left or right? Left one you say is done by a computer, somebody else says right, no? So we are split, yeah? The left one is done by a computer. Why did you think it's done by a computer? Just your feeling. Yeah, feeling is totally okay, we are in France. but you had Descartes. this is more or less a circle. This is only round, the Mondrian piece. I didn't mention Mondrian's name. Mondrian is standing at the seashore, looking out onto the sea. The sun is setting. You see particular reflections of the light. If there's not high waves, that changes the entire thing. If there is small little waves, then you see certain reflections. Mondrian, on one of his ways of deeply getting into abstraction, does some of these drawings. They're often called sea and shore, or how do you peer into the sea. So up there is an area where you see less of those, fewer of those strokes than elsewhere. But if you compare the two, you see one awkward thing. If the left one is supposed to be a simulation of the right one, you see these black spots, right? Blatant as in the computer simulation. You have horizontal and vertical, rather short, varying strokes. No? That's a rational description. You see a more or less round form. For the computer, Noel decided, okay, I'll do a circle. He could, of course, have done that more complexly, cutting it at the upper half. The sun is creating this loosely covered area only. What did Michael Noel do? He simulated this by using a parabola. Okay. So you can get, this is again 1965 or 64 even. Therefore, you do get closer to something that a human being has done, simulating another principle when you use computers. You simulate something. No? To simulate an artist, that's boring, of course. That's absolutely boring. A third exhibition took place in 1965 in November only, 7 months later than the... By the way, the Americans did not believe what? They have been doing things like that in Germany also. Is that allowed? No? Because New York Times wrote about Michael Knoll's exhibition, the world premiere of computer art. No? Only later they realized, so that's another piece that we might be talking about later. I want to show you two photographs of machines as they look then. No, this is the console of that computer then. In the background, you see some parts of the computer. It's cold in here, 18 degrees plus or minus one. Otherwise, the machine immediately gives up. You now carry your laptop with you wherever you go, right? No problem. Ah, see, that's progress. Okay, it's good, there is progress, maybe. However, this was extremely interactive, much more interactive than your stupid icon fiddling around is. No? Because these knobs and dials that you see over here and lights over there allow you to look into each and every memory cell of that computer. So you say, hello, by turning these knobs here, you say, can I please see the content of cell number 1017? And you will see it up there where we don't see anything really now. Okay, so it was as interactive as ever possible. It never again has this degree of interaction been reached. However, of course, before you do a processing program, as maybe some of you may be doing tomorrow and Thursday, of limited complexity, with that machine, it would take you a week or two, most likely. Because you get 1 hour Friday, and please be present when it starts that hour, and then you are chased away. I, of course, used the machine all night, and that was great. So I came at 8 in the evening and started to do things, whatever I wanted to do, all night. And at 7 in the morning when I walked home, I was totally proud because all these people looked bored and tired because they knew what is coming, work. They'll have to do something they don't like. I had been working all night doing what I wanted to do, misusing the computer for something that it was not meant for, because computers are meant for computing, as the name says, but we forced them to draw. That was the revolution.